Maybe before we do anything, let's just pray. God, thank you for one more opportunity to be together like this. We just pray tonight, Lord, that you draw us near to yourself. We go through a story in the Bible, you would help us to really see you clearly. And so, Lord, when you come speak to us, may your presence be with us. Good as it is. Thank you guys for being here and for being with me. It's our last night here together, and I just want to thank you guys because it's been really cool to be with you guys, and every time that we've been together, you guys have given me your full attention, and I can tell. Even last night, when we went longer than I thought we would go, you guys were still paying attention, which I really appreciate. I hope that you'll be able to take something away from the time that we have together. Glad to have met you guys. We have one more, tonight's our last time together, so we have one more session, one more talk. And what I wanted to do tonight is I wanted to tell you guys maybe a story that you're super familiar with already, but I wanted to tell it to you guys again, and it's the story of the life of Peter, or at least some portions of the life of Peter, Jesus' disciple. And the reason I thought it would be cool to go through the life of Peter is that the things that we talked about already this weekend, in our last few times, as you go through the life of Peter, you start to see, actually, wait, the things that we're talking about, Peter experienced. And so, as we kind of go through the life of Peter, what we're going to be able to do is we're going to be able to do a little bit of a recap of what we've already talked about, and then we get to see how, okay, the things that we're talking about are true, and we can see them in somebody else's life, even somebody else's life in the Bible, okay? So we get to do a little bit of a recap, and then what we get to do is, as we move on in Peter's life, and we kind of go through to the next part of his life as we kind of go through his life and tell the story, is that what Peter experiences next is the new topic that we want to talk about today, right? What he experiences next is kind of like a really good picture of the thought that we have for tonight, okay? So I hope that makes sense. We go through his life, we get a little bit of a recap of things we've already done, and then we get to move on to something new that he experiences and that hopefully we can experience too. I hope that makes sense. I don't know, let's see. We're going to try, anyway. If you go back two nights, for those of you who were here with us two nights ago, we talked about how Jesus and God want a personal relationship with you. Right. That was the whole point of that. And what we talked about was that your relationship with Jesus starts when you accept Jesus into your heart as your Savior. Right? That's the first step of this long and fulfilling relationship that you can have with Jesus. But it has a starting point, and that starting point is when you accept Jesus into your life. Okay. So that's what we talked about that first night. Now, in Peter's life, as we go through Peter's life, you'll also get to see a very clear moment in his life when his relationship with Jesus really starts, right? Now, this isn't the first time that Peter and the Lord met, but it was when the Lord calls Peter to follow him. And the story goes, you guys read about it in the Gospels. What happens is Peter spends his day fishing, and he catches nothing the entire day. Now, Peter's a professional fisherman, right? So he should know how to catch fish. But for whatever reason, he doesn't catch any fish. And so Jesus says to him, "Hey, Peter, why don't you take the boat out again? And why don't you throw the net down?" So Peter says, "I mean, I already tried all day and caught nothing, but Jesus, if you say that I should do that, okay, I'll go ahead and do that," right? So he goes and he throws the net down. And he catches so many fish that the net starts breaking as he's trying to hold the net out of the fish into the boat, right? And at that moment, Peter, he recognizes that Jesus is somebody different. This is not like somebody else I've met before. And Jesus tells Peter, "Peter, come follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." And Peter, at that moment, he leaves his fish, he leaves his nets, and he leaves his boat, and he decides that he's going to follow Jesus, right? And that's the beginning of that relationship that Peter and Jesus have, right? That moment is when that happens, right? And then what we experience next in Peter's life is that for the next 3.5 years, Peter lives every day with our Lord Jesus, right? And, you know, last night what we talked about is that, you know, after we start this relationship with our Lord Jesus, we belong to him. And Jesus takes very good care of his own things. And Jesus tells us that by giving us this picture and telling us that he is a shepherd in our lives, right? And we went through all these things about how Jesus will be a good shepherd in our lives if we let him be. And in the same way, in these 3.5 years that Peter lives with the Lord, he starts to experience all of these things with Jesus, right? And he starts to see Jesus heal the sick and feed the hungry, right? And he starts to experience that, wait, Jesus, he restores joy at a wedding when the wine ran out. The wine ran out. Did I say that right? He starts, and Jesus creates wine to restore that joy in that wedding, right? And I'm sure that in these 3.5 years of them living together, what people will experience is just the tender care of our Lord Jesus as the shepherd each and every day as they live together. And so we can see how Peter is able to experience these things that we talked about. And last night, the last thought that we kind of ended with last night is we said that our Lord Jesus is a shepherd who will go and find the sheep who are lost. And a lot of times in our lives, we can wander from our Lord and get lost. And sometimes we wander because, you know, we just go off and we want to do something. We want to focus on something in this world that we think might kind of give us some sort of satisfaction, right? We're like, okay, right now I'm really focused in on Fortnite, and that's like the thing that I really care about, right? Or right now I'm focused in on the latest fashion. Like, I'm just really into going to the mall with my friends and making sure that I pick out all whatever, right? Or I'm really into, like, hang out with my pals, my friends. Like, it's really important to me that I build these relationships with my friends. It's really important to me that I'm well-liked. It's really important to me that people think I'm cool. And sometimes we chase these things and we get a little bit distracted from our Lord and we forget him as we're kind of trying to chase these different things. And slowly we wander away from our Lord. Or sometimes we wander away from our Lord because we mess up. We talked about that last night, and I told you guys my experience with that, right? But the thing that I want you guys to remember is, however far that we wander, if we turn, the Lord is there, right? And we put up the verse, 1 John 1:9. I don't have it on the slide, but 1 John 1:9 says, "If you confess your sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all of us." And we said that verse is effective 100% of the time. If you sin and you mess up and you turn back to the Lord and you confess your sins to him, it's like immediately he is there to forgive you. Okay. And then the last thing we said last night is that sometimes in our lives we get so lost and we mess up so bad that we wander so far away from the Lord, and it's like we can't forgive ourselves. And we don't have the strength to turn back to our Lord. If we turn, the Lord is right there, ready to take us back and to forgive, right? what it's like. We wander so far, we're so discouraged that we don't have the strength to turn back. And I gave you guys my example of that in my life and how I experienced that. And how our Lord Jesus is like that shepherd who will go looking when you get that lost and look for you and tell you, come back and bring you back. Now Peter experienced this. Okay, and Peter experienced this in this incredibly vivid and beautiful way. Because the story of Peter is, when the Lord was about to get arrested, right? When Jesus was about to get arrested, he was about to get taken to get nailed on the cross. Right before he was about to get arrested, he was with his disciples, and he was talking to his disciples, right? And so at this point, of course, Peter had already spent 3.5 years with our Lord. He's about to get arrested. And our Lord, Jesus, has already told his disciples at this point. He said, okay, you know what? I'm going to go die. Like, it's going to happen. Like, I'm going to die, right? And what he says to his disciples at this time is he says, when I die, all my disciples are going to scatter. Like, he prophesies this, right? And now Peter, the thing about Peter's personality is Peter is like, he's a very impulsive guy, is one way to describe him, right? Peter is a super impulsive guy. And a lot of times, he will do something or say something before really thinking it through, right? And you can read in the Gospels, like, sometimes that kind of gets him in trouble. But when our Lord said this, when our Lord said, you know, when I died, like, my disciples are going to scatter. What Peter says immediately to the Lord is he says, Lord, that's not going to happen with me. I'm willing to even die with you, and I'm willing to die with you rather than abandon you, rather than deny you. And I think Peter said this because he meant it. I think Peter really did mean that, because I think Peter really did love the Lord, and he thought that that was what was in his heart. He's saying, I love you, Lord. I'm not going to abandon you. But what our Lord says to Peter is, he says, you know what, Peter, tonight, before the rooster crows, you know, at the rooster crows before the day starts, right? It says, before the rooster crows, you're going to deny me 3 times. And so, what happens, right? What happens is, like, after that conversation happens, Jesus gets arrested by a crowd, right? And when he gets arrested and taken to be questioned by the high priest, all of his disciples, most of his disciples do scatter, right? Because it was like a scary thing. Like, people were coming with, like, you know, as a large crowd to arrest Jesus, and they take him away. And so all of his disciples pretty much scatter, except Peter and John. We think it's John. I'm pretty sure it's John. Start to follow the Lord, like, from a distance. Try to just keep an eye on Jesus, right, as Jesus gets taken away and is kind of arrested. And start to question him. Peter is there, like, trying to be stealthy, trying to make it so that people don't really notice him, and he's kind of trying to keep an eye on Jesus as he's being questioned by the high priest. And as he's kind of, like, trying his best to, like, blend in to where he was so that, you know, people would notice him as he was kind of keeping an eye on Jesus, people came up to him, and he was like, you know, wait, you're that guy that was following Jesus, right? And, you know, Peter was just like, no, that's not me, I think you got the wrong guy, or whatever, right? It's not really what he said, according to the Bible, but he had what I mean. But multiple people come up to him, and they say that, right? They're like, hey, you're the guy that was with Jesus. And then he denies it. He's like, no, I don't know Jesus. And he does this 3 times, and then the rooster crows. And what the Bible says happens next is Jesus is there being questioned by the high priest, and the rooster crows, and Jesus turns around and looks right at Peter. And at that moment, Peter knew what had happened. Peter understood that what the Lord had said came true. And he felt in his heart, man, I really failed my Lord. I thought I was going to be able to not abandon him. I thought that, you know, everybody might abandon him, but I wasn't going to abandon him. But actually what happened is I did. I abandoned him. And what the Bible says happens to Peter is he runs away, and it says he wept bitterly, just crying because of what had happened, because of how he had failed his Lord. So what happens next, right? What happens next in Peter's life? What happens next in Peter's life is, okay, well, a few things happen in the meantime, right? Jesus gets arrested. He gets hung on the cross. But then, our Lord Jesus actually, he, of course, raises from the dead, rises from the dead. And actually, Jesus starts to appear to his disciples. He starts to appear. And so we think that actually what happens is Jesus appeared to a lot of his disciples, and Peter was probably dead. And so probably at this point, Peter had known that Jesus had risen from the dead. In fact, he did know for sure. But what does Peter do next in his life? Well, what Peter does next in his life is he's carrying around this immense guilt that he has, this immense disappointment in himself, and he feels like, okay, well, even though the Lord is alive, I don't know that I can go back to him. I don't know that I can go turn back and face him. Right? And what he does instead is he decides that he's going to go fishing. So he says to some of his other disciples, he says, I'm going to go fishing. And do you know what it means when he decides that he's going to go fishing? What it means is he's going back to what he did before he knew his Lord. Before he met Jesus, he was a fisherman. And he lived for 3.5 years with our Lord, and he followed the Lord, but he said, at this point, you know what, I can't go back to the Lord. At this point, I'm going to go back to the life that I had before I knew my Lord. I can't go back to following him. I guess I have to go back to my old life. And so he decides that he's going to go fishing. And you know, as if Peter didn't feel bad enough during that moment, like carrying the guilt of feeling like I can't go back to my Lord, I failed him. You know, so that wasn't bad enough. What happens is he goes fishing that night, and what the Bible tells us is that night he catches nothing. He doesn't catch a single fish. And you know, this is actually a little bit of a warning for us, to be honest. Because sometimes when you run away from our Lord, and we can experience this in our lives, we always struggle. He's always gracious. But when we run away from our Lord, and we chase some other thing to try and satisfy our hearts, a lot of times we catch no fish. And what I mean by that is it leaves us completely empty. Right? We're running away from our Lord, and that's where our heart is, and we're saying, okay, we're going to go chase something else to maybe satisfy us. So many times that leaves us empty. Okay. And so Peter at this point is probably the lowest point he's ever been in his entire life. It's like he can't go back to our Lord, he can't turn back, he feels so guilty, and then he goes back to his old life, he's like, well, at the very least, I can go back to my old life and I can go fishing. And he goes fishing and he's like, I caught nothing. So he's at the lowest point in his life, and he is as lost as any sheep could be. He's so lost. But what Peter experienced is exactly what we were talking about. you know, when a sheep gets lost, our shepherd is willing to go and look for him. And our Lord Jesus, he knew where Peter was at. He knew that Peter was in this pit. And he knew that Peter didn't have the strength to pull himself out of the pit to go back to our Lord. And so what our Lord does is he goes and he looks for him. And the way that he does that is, you know, Jesus appears on the beach, close to where Peter and the other disciples are fishing. And Jesus calls out to them. You know, at this time, like, the disciples didn't know it was Jesus. They thought it was just some guy, right? But Jesus calls out to them and he says, "Hey, you guys thought I would fish?" And then Peter's like, "No, we didn't catch anything." And so Jesus says to them, "Well, why don't you throw your net on the other side of the boat?" So he takes their net and they throw it on the other side of the boat. And what happens is they catch so many fish, they couldn't really pull the fish back into the boat, right? It's just like that first time when Peter called, when Jesus was called, or when Peter was called by Jesus. Like that very similar situation. And then immediately John, who was on the boat with Peter, said, "Wait, that's Jesus." And what Peter does is he jumps into the water. He swims to the shore. And Peter and Jesus have this intimate moment because nobody else is there. All the other disciples are still on the boat. They're trying to like drag these fish out, but Peter was just like, "I have run to my Lord." And he goes, and they have this intimate moment. And it was here on the beach, when it was just the two of them, I think, that our Lord Jesus, he finds Peter. Because Peter was not able to turn back to our Lord, but our Lord knew where he was, and so our Lord goes and he picks Peter back up. And, you know, there was no rebuke in that conversation. There was no disappointment. There was no, "I told you so." This was all just our Lord saying, "Peter, it's okay. Don't stay lost where you are. Come back. I'm here to get you out of this pit." And so Peter, in this moment, experiences this great thing that we've been talking about, how Jesus will find you if you're lost, right? And he experiences it in the most beautiful way. And so, that's the recap portion, right? We know that Jesus starts that relationship with Peter, and Peter starts that relationship with our Lord. And he experiences our Lord and what it means to live with him and belong to him and see how he'll take care of him. And Peter definitely experienced this thing of being so lost, but finding that our Lord reaches out to him. But this is where we're going next. So everything that we just talked about in Peter's life are things that we've already talked about, just a picture of those things. But what happens next in Peter's life is what we want to talk about tonight. Because what happens next in Peter's life is the Lord not only picks Peter up from his pit and restores him and says, "Peter, come back." But what happens next is our Lord Jesus tells Peter, "Hey, I want you to take care of my sheep, to tend my sheep." And what the Lord was saying with those words, "attend my sheep," what he was saying was, Jesus knew that it was going to be very soon that Jesus was going to go back to heaven, right? He was going to leave this earth. And what he wanted Peter to do was he wanted Peter to take care of the other Christians. He wanted Peter to spread the gospel. He wanted Peter to help shepherd all of these other Christians and grow them, because Peter is somebody who now knew the Lord and knew how good he is and knew how he was a God that like loves people. And Jesus is saying, well, now, Peter, I need you to go and take care of these other Christians. Take care of my sheep. Really, what the Lord was saying to Peter was, I want you to serve me now. For the rest of your life, will you serve me? And what Peter says is he says yes. And you see, for the rest of Peter's life, he serves Jesus. He gives his life to Jesus. For the rest of his life, he serves him. And you know, when our Lord, you know, when Peter was willing to do this, what I think was happening in Peter's heart was this. What was going on in his heart, I think, is he had just experienced that there's nobody else quite like Jesus. There's nobody else quite as good as him. There's nobody that loves me quite like him. Like, I found this person that loves me so much, and he is so incredible, and he is so kind, and so compassionate, and such a good God, that I'm going to give my life to him. It's like the Lord was there on the beach, and he looks back at the boats, and he's like, if I can have the boats, or I can follow Jesus for the rest of my life, it's not even a comparison. It says, Jesus has found the love of his life. He's like, yes, I'm going to give my life to Jesus. So Peter does this, and for the rest of his life, he serves him. And this exchange is what we want to talk about tonight. Okay? And maybe the way that I'll kind of describe it is I'll talk about it this way. There's a brother who gave a message many, many years ago, and it stuck with me because he described our relationship with the Lord this way. He says, in your relationship with the Lord, the way that he described it is, there's actually two. In the Bible, it kind of talks about two presences of the Lord. Okay? Two different kinds of presences of the Lord. One is what we've been talking about all weekend, where it's wherever we are, our Lord never leaves us. And so what happens is we can wander wherever we go, we can go wherever we want to go, and we can live our lives however we want to live our lives, but when we've accepted Jesus as our Savior, he promises he will never leave us or forsake us, right? And that's this incredible gift that we have in our Lord Jesus, because a lot of times we will find ourselves wandering and we'll find ourselves in terrible places, and we just turn and we realize, wait, our Lord has not left me. He's still here. And that's this incredible thing that we have in our lives that we cannot let go of. We turn and the Lord's here. We mess up, we turn and we confess our sins and he's there. And that's a great blessing. But that's the first kind of presence of the Lord. The Bible talks about a different kind of presence of the Lord. And this other kind of presence of the Lord is when there's somebody who in their heart says, wait, Jesus is so good. He's so amazing. I don't want to be apart from him. And that person's heart, they say, wherever the Lord is, that's where I want to be. You see the difference there? The first one is, wherever I am, the Lord isn't going to leave me. And it's about me. It's about where I want to live, where I want to go in my life. However I want to live my life, the Lord has not left. It's about me. And the second one is, wherever the Lord is, that's where I want to be. And I'm going to follow him. And that's what was going on in Peter's life. And he, at that moment, I think he completely gave his life to the Lord and he said, I'm yours forever, completely. I'm going to go where you want to go. And so that is the thought that I want to leave you guys with today, right? Just that thought. That do we in our lives know that our Lord is good? Have we experienced that He's good? And then in our lives, what we say, in our hearts, what we say is, you know what? I want to follow you. I know that if I'm where you are, I'm going to be blessed. It's good to be close to my Lord. And so we decide in our hearts that we want to follow Him. And there's a verse in the Bible that I wanted to point us to that is really the whole thing about this, right? And this is a verse that maybe you guys know. Maybe you guys have read before. And this talks about, this basically talks about what I was just saying, but in, you know, difficult language. But it says, therefore I urge you, brethren, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. That presenting your bodies as a sacrifice is saying, God, I am yours. I will follow you. I'm going to give my life to you. And I want to be where you are. I want to follow you all the days of my life. And this is a verse that is something that we'll encounter a lot in our lives because it's not just something that happens once and is done, but it's kind of as we see more of our Lord and as we see more of how good He is, a little bit of us is willing to give more of ourselves. We see more of Him and give a little bit more of ourselves. And so it's this continual in our hearts saying more and more, Jesus, where you are, that's where I want to be. And I hope that this is something that for some of you at least, I hope for all of you, but I hope for some of you at least, you guys are aware of my sins and that's what I want to say. Because what this is, in that last part of the verse it says, this is your spiritual service of worship. And that's so interesting, right? Because when we think about worship, we think about Benson playing the guitar. And we sing a song together, right? We think about it as like singing songs together, right? But that's not really what it is. Worship, real worship, is when we say, God, you're good, you're worthy, and we give ourselves. And so, that's really all I wanted to say to you guys today. That I hope that there will be for you guys that seeing of how good our Lord is and then saying to Him, I want to follow you. Now, some of you guys are not ready for that yet. Some of you guys are going to be like, okay, I don't know about this. And that's okay. Just keep walking with the Lord and you'll discover more of how good He is and He'll draw you to Him. But maybe for some of you guys, you've seen enough of Him already and you're like, you know what? Our Lord is good. And I do want to follow Him. And I hope that you'll tell Him that. I hope that you'll give yourself to Him, to follow Him. Because the younger you are when you do that, the more you'll be blessed. The more that you'll experience. I've given myself to follow the Lord. And you know, when you give yourself to follow the Lord, your life doesn't necessarily get easier. Actually, a lot of times it gets harder. But what you get is you get more of the Lord Jesus. You have to see Him more. You have to experience Him more. And it's so worth it. There is nothing. You know, we can spend our lives chasing fishing boats, whatever our version of fishing boats is, right? You can spend your life chasing those things. And let me tell you, whatever your version of fishing boat is in your life, you can fish all night, and you can catch no fish. It's true. But when you decide that you want to follow the Lord Jesus and He's there, suddenly it's like there's 153 fish, like what Peter taught, because there's full of blessing in your life as you decide that you want to follow Jesus. And so, hope that for you guys, that you guys will have in your heart that desire, that's okay. I want to follow up with it. Alright, let's pray. God, words are so limited, but we pray that at least some of that will be clear enough. That Lord, in all of our hearts, you would cause us to desire to follow you, to give our lives to you, because you're so good to us and you're worth it. May you do that work in our lives. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.